Let's go. Right.
Let's go.
We've already been recording for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and we're going to have to cut most of that out.
All of it?
Start all of it.
All right. So we're starting now. 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 Broken Embargo.
Woo! Yeah!
Episode 62 by my count.
Kayla just sounded like a bad Sonic character.
Yep. Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that wasn't...
Well.
So, yeah, we're back for another week. The gang's all here, and we got not really a whole lot to talk about.
Wow. See, always on a negative note. I don't get it.
Well, do we?
Yes, we do.
What?
We got lots of stuff to talk about. I got some new Minecraft mods. Caleb's been coding a new game. You probably played some stuff over the last week or so. I got a funny story about Halo. It's going to be great for what you've been playing. And then in terms of news, we got some stuff going in there, too. Let me take a look here. Like, there was the rumor about, you know, the Halo remake. There's the Duty Calls. There's so much great stuff we're going to talk about this week. It's going to be good.
Anyway. I guess we'll just get into this.
Move right along.
Amazingly amazing show, which...
Caleb, you know what they're selling at Dunkin' Donuts now? Like, this whole month?
What?
Chocolate things, like mocha coffee and reverse Boston cream, like all these new chocolate donuts. I found it interesting because, you know, it's chocolate month during Black History Month, and then I thought that might, you know... upset you a little bit.
Man, you know, that sucks, because PAX East was where I got them frickin' sandwiches, and them are delicious. Now what? I can't get them anymore. Well, not this year, anyway.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about either.
Those waffle... I got them waffle sandwiches or whatever from Dunkin' Donuts every waffle morning sandwiches. When we were at PAX.
I never got one of those. Oh, yes, we did. Yeah,
yeah,
duh.
We did.
Holy crap, those are amazing.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
I'm not going to PAX East this year, though.
That was a fun time, wasn't it?
It was a fun time.
It was a grand old time.
Oh, PAX.
Prime.
I'm going to PAX
Prime.
East.
Well, yeah, you live right down the frickin' road from PAX East.
I'm going to PAX East.
Shut your mouth.
Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about either of you with your, oh, I got a half an inch of fucking snow.
Whoa. I love it. So, Caleb... decided to, like, you know, oh my god, we got snow, and he posted a picture, and it's like a dusting. It's pathetic. And so I decided to ridicule him for it, because up here in New England, we have 6 foot tall snowbanks.
Yeah.
So, it's very hard to drive, it's kind of a pain in the ass, especially now that it's all iced over, because of the rain. And Caleb's like, oh, we got snow.
Hey, we had iced roads, man. It took me a half an hour to drive what took me 10 minutes.
So we took big batter all over the roads. Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I still don't feel bad for either of you.
I didn't want anyone to feel bad for me. I enjoyed it.
There are people that want to be felt bad for. Like, oh, my God, there's snow everywhere. It's crazy. It's 30 degrees out.
Is that your emo Twitter voice?
Yes. I hate it. I hate it all. It's like, really? I've had that all winter.
You know what else I saw on Twitter yesterday? The post-secret... There's a picture. The Trenta cup from Starbucks, that, like, 31 ounces. Like, okay. Their new size. It holds an entire bottle of wine.
Just in case.
Like, a whole bottle of wine could fit in that.
Good to know.
I don't know. I'm just talking, okay? Because you're all Mr. Frowny Pants today.
In case you feel like bringing a bottle of wine to class one day or what?
There's some chocolate wine.
It would look a little out of place in a Starbucks cup, though, Eric.
Well, you got the cap on it. Nobody's
the clear
gonna look
Starbucks
at it.
Cup.
Well, don't get the clear one. Get the coffee one.
Let's see what Murgatroyd had to say this week.
He had to say a little bit.
First off, Caleb, I would just like to say that I do not support the naming of this episode. Lies, 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 all perpetrated by Alex Jones.
Yep. I just had to put my My two cents in that.
Oh, that was Caleb. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was Murgatroyd. I was about to say, Murgatroyd wouldn't say that. Anyway. then he talks about 3DS has plenty coming out for it that appeals for me, but I'm poor and sadly have to mug old ladies for money rather than simply enjoying it. Yeah, that's true. We all have to do that.
They're most running out, though.
What?
The old ladies. Not many left.
Yeah.
Endangered species.
Yeah. I don't know. Great break music? What did we use for the break music?
It was... Wow, thanks. it was from...
I mean, it was great break music. I loved it. What was it, though?
It was Link's Awakening. It was the main Zelda theme from Link's Awakening.
Oh. Right on. Yeah, I remember that. It was awesome. Because I was there the whole time. And
You were there on the boat with Link during that storm?
I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I don't listen to the podcast.
So, is that like
the magic has been collapsed.
2 weeks in a row that we use Link's Awakening music?
Did we use Link's Awakening?
Well, No, that was, I guess, 2 or 3
you
weeks ago.
You Silent Hill, dumbass.
No, last week, yeah, but the week before that, where I asked him to guess, because it was like a really weird rendition of it.
It was
the
Song of Awakening,
yeah.
And then something that I told Caleb that I haven't told you yet, Eric,
is that
now every time somebody gets dropped, the a sound plays.
Oh, yeah?
So do it now. Do it now. Do it now.
Sucker now. So a sound would go right there.
And that's partially why I didn't want to tell you, so I don't know why I just told you.
Oh, we're going to do it again. Oh, yeah. You really shouldn't have told me that.
All right.
Anyway, I guess I have a reason to go listen to the show now.
There you go.
We have fun here.
Mm-hmm. Murgatroyd says, it sounds like the Pope's girlfriend on Second Life was really man.
I don't... Sounds like Murgatroyd didn't finish his thought process.
I get it, though. It was really a man. That's fun. That's clever.
He was hurt. The Pope was hurt.
Yeah, he was. Oh, really? A man.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted.
That's probably what he wanted.
To say really manly or something. Like, the Pope hates men.
3DS is going to sell like crazy. Like Alex said, people are idiots. And they spend excessive amounts of money on their kids. Just look at every major Nintendo console over the years. Every DS has done well. The Wii still sells even though every person in the world already has 5 of them. People have literally died trying to get N64 and Wii. And look at all the insanely expensive tech crap that people buy. iPhone, iPad, Windows Phone 7, Nook, Kindle. People love throwing their money away. And best of all, the 3DS will be cheaper than all of these things. Nintendo will have no trouble selling them, especially once it starts getting closer to the holidays.
Word.
I'd like to argue that every DS has done well point, because we don't know that.
What do you mean?
Well, the NPD has always, like, grouped them all together in terms of hardware sales.
Oh, true, it is just one individual NDS kind of entry.
Yeah, but...
I mean, we could say, I mean, DSi...
They've always done well.
I'll give them credit for, like, the DS Lite and DSi. Like, I think those were the two, like, big ones. But I'm not too sure about the DSi XL or even the original DS Fat. Because it did take the Fat a while to get out of the gate.
Well, yeah, it took... Yeah. That's because games were really not that good for the DS.
Yeah, no, not really at all.
Which we're kind of seeing now with the 3DS coming out with the launch lineup.
What do you mean? Yeah.
History of Pizza. Well, because there wasn't a good lineup of DS games at the start of the DS. I mean, what was there? There was Super Mario 64,
no,
and then
Field
of Magic. Do you remember Field of Magic?
Yeah, I know. It was horrible. I'm talking about the 3DS, though. It has good games.
Well, I mean, it's got Pilot Wings and Nintendogs and Nintendo Cats and...
No, it's got Resident Evil. It's got
at launch?
Super Street Fighter.
In the launch lineup?
Aren't they launch titles?
I'm pretty sure Super Street Fighter. I think Street Fighter is, but not Resident Evil.
Launch titles. We're solving this. We're putting this to bed right now.
Hi, Caleb. How are you?
Hi. Pretty good.
That's good.
Let's see. When was this written? January 20th. Well, this guy has his stuff all...
Yeah.
Messed up.
Wow.
Don't click on the first link, everybody.
That's really bad.
This guy does not know what he's talking about.
It's like
Jim Sterling knows what he's talking about. No, yeah, we got Resident Evil, Super Street Fighter 4.
What day?
No, Resident Evil is in that. And Lego Star Wars 3. Yeah, that could be cool.
According to Jim Sterling, who, I don't know, is British. So he might be wrong. But, like, people have been saying, like, Resident Evil and Super Street Fighter 4 are, like, amazing on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. So I think that it...
It might have a slight leg up over the DS in terms of launch, but yeah. It's just kind of disappointing that the games that they were all like, you know, Kid Icarus introduced the thing,
yeah,
and it's
true.
Nowhere to be seen, so.
Well, yet. I mean, really, it's a good move for them to wait till, like, the holidays, or closer to the holidays to release those, because they'll frickin' sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
When are we gonna get a Super Smash game on handheld? You gotta think that's coming after Icarus.
I don't know that that would work as good, though.
But
I think
didn't you see the Super Smash Brothers for Game Boy? That came out like a few weeks back?
Yeah, I mean, that...
It
that
worked.
Was cool, but it worked, but it wasn't really like... like, it was more of a like, oh, nostalgia, blah,
look,
blah,
if we can have functioning Street like Fighter... If we can have Street Fighter on 3DS, I don't see why we can't do Smash.
Yeah, but Street Fighter is one versus one. Like, Smash Brothers is like one versus one versus one versus one. You know, to get that many people together to play a Smash Brothers game on handhelds, I don't really see that happening.
I think it could work. I mean, I played one-on-one.
Well,
Smash Brothers? I play that one-on-one all the time. So even if it was just two people, it's just as fun.
Right, just one-on-one, or even like one against a computer. Or, I mean, they did it with Mario Kart, so that way, you know, like, you could do download play, and everyone who didn't have the game could download and play as just Shy Guy. You could do the same thing here with Mario.
Suckers.
True.
But, you know, this game hasn't even... This game just exists in our fantasies, so...
Yeah.
You know. Kind of like the... NGP games that a lot of people have been talking about.
That is a nice segue.
This would be cool for the NGP. Yeah, that is a nice segue.
What?
I'm not quite as confident about the NGP, largely because Sony is more of a niche market. Nintendo is for everyone, and Sony is for Sony fans. And like the PS3, they're loading this thing full of fancy technology that wouldn't be used to its full potential. And also like the PS3, it's lacking backwards compatibility. I was hoping I could skip the PSP and just get this, but I want to be able to play UMDs and not just downloadable games. It'll be a great handheld, but I think it'll be behind in sales for a good while. My price prediction is $300 for the Wi-Fi and $400 for the 3G.
That's actually a good point that I didn't think of, backwards compatibility.
I don't think it's going to hurt many people.
No, I mean...
I mean, the games that are on the PSP that are worth playing, that most of them are on the PlayStation Store.
I'd want to play Dissidia.
Yeah, Dissidia is on the store.
Oh, so we could download it. Oh,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay.
You couldn't download Birth by Sleep because for some reason Square Enix won't put that on the store. But Metal Gear Solid, you know, all the Monster Hunter, all the big ones are on there. And I think you're discounting downloadable games quite a bit because that's the best way to play games on the PSP right now, because your disk drive isn't spurring up and crap like that.
It helps the battery life a lot.
Yeah. I mean, for the NGP, they're using a cartridge system, too, which is pretty cool. I don't know. I do think it'll be behind in the sales at the beginning, but just like the PS3, it's going to pick up and run away in a few years. I mean, this year, the PS3 is kicking so much ass. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with the Xbox Live deal, with them raising the price. A lot of people switched.
I still need to cancel that. I realize I haven't played multiplayer on Xbox since Huntsville.
I haven't played a lot. I haven't even played Xbox in a long while.
I still play online, only with friends, though. I don't go into matchmaking.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, I will probably move over to PlayStation Plus, though, after last week's news. I don't know if this was in the news segment, but they're giving away stacking for free to PlayStation Plus people. Day one. That's a $15 game you're getting for free. And it's like, that's now worth it, in addition to everything else, because I get Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage for free as well. So
that's a good game.
That is a good
game.
That
is
a
really great game.
But yes. It's like, it's still got that weird thing where, like, once you, like, if you're not a PlayStation Plus subscriber afterwards, then it won't work. And
but I mean, if they keep giving me incentive to keep it, then I, you know, with Xbox, I'm not getting any incentive to keep it other than the Netflix app. That's the only reason I was really keeping around, because the Netflix app was better than the PS3's. And then all of a sudden, the PS3 decided to update their app, and it's better than the Xbox's now. So I'm like, what's the point in keeping my Xbox Live around?
True. Jeez.
That's a good one. Spyro 3, Year of the Dragon, that's a good one, too.
Is that free?
I don't know if it's free.
Well, because I need to beat that, because every version of that game I owned on PS1 glitched, and I never beat it.
Really?
Yeah, it glitched near the end, and then, like, I couldn't get the last star or something, and it was a straight-up glitch.
Talking about? Are we talking about, like, all the Spyros, or just two?
Just the last one, Year of the Dragon.
Oh, three. Year of the Dragon. But Year of the Dragon was a great game, too.
It was a great game, and I need to beat it, so I need to pick it up on PlayStation Network.
That one handled new characters well, because that one was just like, oh, here's a new character, here's a couple levels you can play as them, like, we'll scatter them about, and you don't have to do them.
Yeah. I miss the Spyro games. Those are good games.
I miss the good Spyro games. That's...
Oh, yeah. No, anything past PS1 era isn't a Spyro game.
Let's clarify. I miss the Insomniac.
Yes.
Spyro.
But why would you want to cancel your Xbox Live subscription like 2 weeks before Torchlight comes out?
Dude, I would cancel my Xbox Live subscription Torchlight to play Spyro 2 for free. I would do
that. Wait. Torchlight doesn't have multiplayer.
True.
So I can still get Torchlight?
This is such a great incentive, Eric.
I mean, I can still buy games on Silver, can't I? I mean, you can buy things for the arcade.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
I looked into it.
That would be such a bad business model.
Yeah, no, it would
I thought that's what it was. I don't know.
Pay us so you can buy things. But
pretty much.
No, when you get gold, you get deal of the week and stuff like that.
Yeah,
with other incentives. But if you're silver, you can still buy games.
All right, well, let's all go out and get rid of our 360s.
Yeah!
Let's all head out to GameStop today.
No, I've been selling games on Glide the last week. I've made $100 selling like six games.
Right?
It's so good. I just sent off.
Told you guys
games.
About that.
Glide is fantastic. I'm getting such a good deal, and like they're not even like recent games. Like only one of them was recent, and I was like Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still getting $100. It's great.
I'm still too much of a collector to sell my games.
Yeah,
that's not what I feel bad about.
Yeah. That, but then, you know, plus it's not just games. You can put CDs and books and movies on there.
Right.
Mm. And
I need to sell my school books from Full Sail.
Yeah,
my friend was selling his school books. He got like $300.
That's what I'm talking
about. Like, dude, I'm doing that.
Yeah, and, a couple books on there.
Plus they, you know, once you sell something, they send you an envelope so you don't have to bother with shipping.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It comes an envelope in a bigger envelope.
Huh.
Yeah. My mailman must hate them because they don't fit properly into my mailbox. But
mailman.
Mailman. I don't know why I said mayman.
I'm like, your maymaw?
My maymaw. But yeah, Glide's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. The only thing I don't like about it, well, and I do kind of like about it at the same time, is, like, in the Organize tab, once you get everything added in there, it tells you what everything is worth, and then it just kind of makes you think back to all the money that you spent on games.
Yeah, exactly.
And movies and books and everything, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I don't even have all my stuff in there, and I have 72 items worth $685.
That's insane.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, another thing I like about Glide is that, like, unlike selling on eBay, like, I think I'm getting more money than I would if I sold it on eBay or at GameStop. Definitely if I sold it at GameStop, probably if I sold it on eBay. And it takes out the person-to-person interaction, I guess you could say, where it's like, is this guy really just, like, you know, some fucking tweaker? like, who's just sending me, illegal copy of Pokemon Soul Silver, so that way he can go buy his drug fix.
See, we told you about that. The dangers of that. You're like, no, it's great.
I do love it. It works perfectly, but like with this, it's just like, okay, you get the envelope and then you send it. The return address is not your address. It is glide.com.
That's cool.
So, and when you buy it, it doesn't tell you the name of the person who put it up there. It doesn't say, oh, like some random person from, you know, Tweakerville, California put it up there. It's like, this is how much it's worth. Do you want to buy it?
Yeah.
I gotta finish getting my stuff up there and what ones I want to sell.
It's great.
It is. It's really good stuff.
Everyone already knows that Caleb's a big, fat racist.
That's all of that comment we're going to read.
Yes.
It never happened.
And if you'd like to read the full comment, you can go to unnamedgaming.podomatic.com.
The full, uncensored, unedited version of the comment.
And true comment.
I want proof.
He'll find proof.
I'll find proof.
Don't tell him that he's not going to. Anyway.
Murgatroyd, if you find proof, let me know.
Now that we're about a half hour into the game, into the show, and we've only talked about
Clyde and coffee
really. Let's talk about what we've been playing, fellas.
Hi.
Let's see what's good. What have we been playing? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay. Because I don't. I have a couple of new Minecraft mods to talk about. But first, I want to talk about Zilla Mode on Xbox Live and Halo. We were playing this week, and it was a group out of 11 of us. And, you know, DM Zilla's running. He's got the party going. There's Lithion, and I think E stopped by from, you know, Microsoft. And so we're playing, and we're just joking around. And all of a sudden, who joins the party but Major Nelson? And so, it was like, that was actually everyone's first reaction. It was like, oh, whoa, big stuff just came into the room. And immediately, he started trash-talking. Like, he started putting down the whole game. Like, he's just like, wow, I can't believe Zilla found a way to make Halo not fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun game mode. And so, at some point, I started, trash-talking him. And he actually assassinated me at one point, which is impressive, because, you know, your run speed's 300%. So I must, like, back-walked into him. And so he assassinated me. I'm just like, whoa, old man's got game. Then immediately as the game was over, he's like, all right, see you guys. He left. DMZilla goes, Arb, I cannot believe you just said that. I cannot believe you just called him an old man. I can't wait to walk into work tomorrow. Apparently, Major Nelson doesn't like being called an old man. That was fun. Next time we're playing, you guys should hop on, because it's really a lot of fun.
I can't do that. I'm canceling Xbox Live.
Except Caleb. Except I need to play Spyro for free.
Yeah. See, that's where your plan backfires, because we're all going out and selling our 360s.
And why? We're all going to go play Spyro 2 again.
Actually, you can't sell 360s on Glide. That's the one thing I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be cool if they added accessories, but I think that would change their shipping stuff.
I guess that was because they do anyway. Pay for the mailer, but it's like you can't sell consoles and you can't sell anything that's not current gen. So like all my old gen stuff, I have to go to like a local game shop.
Really? Yeah. Final Fantasy
7.
Look at that! You can't.
Nope.
But 10's on there. So you got PS2 stuff.
PS2, no GameCube.
Huh.
No GameCube,
nobody buys GameCube stuff anyway.
Whoa, excuse me. And then, Mr. Elite is over here. And then, I've been playing more Dead Space on the iPod Touch, and it is a fantastic game.
Now that I beat Dead Space 2, I really need to sit down and play the one on the iPhone.
So, the problem that I'm having with it, though, is that I pretty much finished a game. I'm at, like, chapter 7. I got a couple more chapters to go, maybe, like, half hour. And I've only seen maybe a few enemy types. Like, you really get used to the enemies, and you really get very comfortable with the game. Like, I found myself immediately getting really relaxed with the game like I did with Bioshock, and just like, oh, Dark hallway, whatever.
Yeah, there's only like 5 or 6 enemy types in Dead Space 2, and then they have like upgraded types that are like blacker and gritty, and they take more shots to kill, and they annoy the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's you do get complacent. Do they have the raptors in the Dead Space iPhone?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
The what?
There are the one new enemy type in Dead Space 2 are these raptors. You come into a room, and it happens all the time. You if you walk into a room and there's a bunch of crates, you know these raptors are coming. Because what they'll do is they'll jump over these crates, and like they walk around like raptors. They don't have front arms at all. They just have their back legs. So they look like oversized chickens. And they'll run behind these crates and peek around the corner and make these weird kind of screeching noises, and then all of a sudden one of them will run out and charge you. And they're, you know, you're just looking around, there's like 3 of them all peeking around the corner, you don't know which one's going to jump out at you. It's pretty freaky. But yeah, you do get complacent with those kind of enemies because you know when they're coming.
I mean, that's my main problem actually with Dead Space on the iPod, is like I know what's going to happen. Like when I enter a room, and it's like, okay, activate the console. It's like, I am looking around. I'm going to stand there when somebody charges at me, and this part is going to be a great spot to shoot from.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you get comfortable with the room. Like, there are some cool times when it's like, oh, you're on a tram, and then, you know, there's some stuff going on there. Or, like, one room that I thought was different, that was interesting, was early on in the game, you go in, and it's the main goal you get is search for an exit. ... And you're locked in, and, you know, there's just, like, dead bodies lying around. And, like, you have to go around and, like, find which ones are imposters that will grab onto you. Hmm. And, like, you have to walk up close to them intentionally and shake them off. I don't know if that's in the main game, because I haven't played the main game, but...
No.
It's great. It plays great. The controls are pretty great. Everything's just great about it. You just get really not scared. It really loses some of the magic.
It's the same thing with the original Dead Space.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't played Dead Space 2 yet. I want to finish the first one. But it, you know, and really just kind of games like that in general is that you just kind of grow accustomed to it. You know, and you know something's going to jump out. You know, and you might get that initial jump factor, you know, or like, oh, you know, something jumped out and it kind of scares you. But you don't really get like that. Like, I hardly ever get that, like, eeriness from games like that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm that's the thing that's, like, bugging me to death in what I'm doing in my free time. Is, like, I'm trying to figure out what it is of horror that makes horror horror. And it's not this, what AAA horror is. It's not even what Amnesia was to me. There's something else missing in horror. I might be going down a really dark path. I don't know.
So, Caleb has a gigantic pit in his basement where, you know, he throws people in and tells them to rub the lotion on their skin.
But I will say,
in the fucking basket!
I will say, the end of Dead Space 2 actually had me physically drained. Like, I felt beat up after the end of that game. It was that
I watched
intense.
The ending of that game. It did look pretty great.
It was like... I mean, I died a lot, and I don't like that, but just the challenge of it, and, you know, when you stomp on enemies in that game, Isaac will start yelling obscenities at the body, and it's so appropriate, because I will go on stomping sprees after killing a room of enemies that has killed me enough times, and it'll just be, like, yelling and screaming as I'm stomping and mashing the stomp button, and it just, like, I don't know, it's funny.
Yeah. I don't know. Plus, yeah, like, when you have, like, gigantic weapons that could just dismember things, it kind of...
Yeah, there's no horror in that.
You know, it's like, oh, monster jumped out. Watch me shoot it in the head. Problem solved.
And then I've been playing more Minecraft mods. I did find the Herobrine mod for you, Caleb, but it doesn't work with beta.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it's been crashing a lot, so that's why I didn't send it to you.
Okay.
Has to be updated, but we are doing a new thing where every Wednesday the server admin saves the map, and then it's War Wednesday, and basically we each take up our own strongholds which sort of like our own creations that we've made, and we try and destroy the other person, so we try and look for everyone's golden apple. And, like, that person can hide their golden apple everywhere. Sort of like an Easter egg, where it's like, you know, you can't bury it 3 feet down, but you can put it in a tricky spot.
Huh.
And the person who wins, if somebody finds everyone else's golden apples, and there's PvP, so if somebody finds, you know, somebody else's, you can kill them, you know, to take it. Whoever has all the golden apples at the end of the day, or the most, wins. And then he just rolls back the save of the server, so everything's completely fine.
How many people are on the server?
Four.
I want to join.
Well, you know, you're not cool enough yet.
No one's on my server, dude.
Oh, maybe. We'll see. And then, what else? And then he actually been playing a lot, like, Giant. He added a Giant to the game every once in a while. I was just building a windmill, and I was building, and then I turn around, and he's running toward me. What? With this giant zombie following him. Like, huge. Like, bigger than any building I've ever seen. Like, goes to the top of the map, just chasing after him. And, like, the zombie can be taken down. Like, he can be. But if you get killed, like, we also have death notifications that pop up, like, in the chat. So, like, you mm-hmm. know, Dan McKenney was David and Goliath for a second, and he lost. He was David. You know, stuff like that. Or, like, you know, fell into a lava pit and burned everything. So it was really, really cool to add some of these mods, and it's just so much fun on the server now. Also, cool. We do have mobs, so they come out sometimes. But yeah, that's what I've been playing this week. Maybe I'll give you an invite, maybe, if you're good.
I would appreciate it. Because, like, no one's on my server right now. Like, I go on there to build something, but I'm like, no one's coming anymore.
Yeah, because you killed us all off when you didn't fix it.
I don't think that's the point. I just think everyone who got on there, who I used to know, got tired of Minecraft. And I still get the Minecraft itch.
I don't think they got tired of Minecraft. I think they found somewhere else to go.
No. The people I know at work just don't talk about it anymore.
You're in denial.
Whatever.
She's in denial. Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Do you have RuneCraft on that server?
No, we do not.
Okay, have you... You know, there are RuneCraft runes that actually alter the entire world. I'm almost hesitant to even have it on my server.
Hmm.
Because there's some secret runes that just mangle things.
The only close thing to magic that we've got is, like, you know, we still have, like, item spawns and all this stuff, but with the Herobrine ghost... Uh-huh. There's actually an altar you can build to, like, summon him to that position. And so what we did was, we knew about Herobrine before somebody else, like, so the other guy hops on, we're like, we'll take you, brother. Like, it's like, you know, a cult meeting, and we're in the Great Fairy Fountain. And wow. We had constructed this, like, we found this network of caves behind the place. So, like, we cut down a couple of blocks, and, like, there's this huge network of tunnels, and we go all the way back, and we had constructed this altar that if you just light it on fire, it knocks off all the candles in the area, or the torches, rather. Like, every torch in the area blacked out, and he appeared. And it was the most, it was the weirdest fucking thing. And then, not even lying, like, 5 seconds after he appeared, server crashed.
Wow. That's so terrifying.
Yeah, it's fun. Eric, what are you even playing?
Me? Nothing, well, I mean... Some things, nothing really super interesting. I finally got DC Universe because it really is, like, my favorite MMO right now.
What server are you playing on?
No Man's Land? Mm.
Hero, villain?
Hero.
Pansy.
What?
Pansy.
Why am I a pansy?
Villain's actually a lot more fun, though. Like, I played Hero for a little while, and it just... Maybe it's because I played villain first. It's a lot of the same thing.
You are going down a dark path. Holy cow.
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking. Like, wow. Okay, Caleb.
Oh, no. I'm villain. Oh, pansy. Don't afraid to light cars on fire and stab an old lady in the street.
Infect people with Joker's laugh gas.
Jeez. Although I have been, like, taking down a lot of villains. Which is cool. That's why I like the PvP server, because, like, I can just be running by, and then all of a sudden I notice somebody off to the side trying to do something, and, you know, he's got the red name, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go kill him.
Yeah.
And then I go kill him. So, but, yeah, it's just, because I tried the Champions free-to-play thing, and I was quickly reminded of how
bad
that game controls, and it's just, I couldn't do it. And so I got, yeah, I got DC Universe, and it really is. It looks good, you know, especially when it's on the PS3.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it controls great. The only issue I have now is that I need to get one of them little keyboard thingers for my controller.
Yeah.
Or
there's
just
not
a
much,
USB keyboard or something.
There's not much chatting at all going on in DC UO on PS3.
Oh, no, there's... pretty much none altogether.
If they do fix the voice chat, though, that'll be good. Because the voice chat priority that's supposed to work is, like, you chat in your league, and then you're in your party, and then, like, in your raid. So that, I mean, once that goes up, that'll be great.
Yeah. Then I'll just have to find a Bluetooth headset.
Or a USB headset.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Wait, really?
Yeah, I use mine
for
other games.
Anyway, I also have been playing a little game called Pro Zombie Soccer on my iPad, and it's just, I absolutely love games with just ridiculous concepts in them. And so this one is, you're this, like, bum on the street who tried to go pro at soccer, but he's so... like, lazy and stupid, and he got completely hammered the night before the tryouts, and so he didn't get into the soccer team he wanted to get into. And then one night he's out taking the trash out, and, like, his favorite soccer player guy comes at him, but he's a zombie, and he bites the kid. And so he knows he's going to turn into a zombie, but somehow... him getting bitten by the soccer player gave him all of the soccer player's abilities, and then he notices, like, the soccer ball that's glowing inside this guy's bag, so he decides, I'm gonna kill all these zombies with this soccer ball. And so, like, the game, you know, itself is pretty simplistic. It's you know, aim the soccer ball and then you kick it, and you can get, like, headshots by kicking them in the head and different things like that. And then there's different modes for slowing down time, or there's one where he basically kicks the ball into space into a giant satellite that'll launch lasers down onto all the zombies. But it, you know, it's just it's just like this fun little concept of, like, yeah, I'm gonna kill zombies with a soccer ball.
So it's not soccer at all. It's just
it's almost like Angry Birds, kind of. You know, like, you basically, like, charge up the ball, aim it, and then kick it.
Oh, there's a light version.
Yeah. So, it's on iPhone, iPod, Touch, and then they just came out with this HD version, so...
What is the name of this?
Pro Zombie Soccer.
Yeah, I'm downloading the trial now.
Also, Caleb, Game Dev Story is $1.
So. Yep, I've got it. I picked it up.
Yeah.
Finally.
So
I made five games and they've all failed. I'm very pissed off about that.
Yeah. So yeah, and then I'm supposed to get Resonance of Fate in from Gamefly sometime, so I will be able to find out how Japan decides to combine guns and RPGs.
Have you ever played the demo?
What?
The demo of Resonance of Fate?
No.
It was only on the... I guess it was only on the Japanese store.
Well, that would be why I didn't play it, huh?
Yeah. Get a Japanese account. The Catherine demo's up, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
I played it last week.
I think I have one. We're going to find out now.
The Resonance of Fate was pretty interesting. I need to pick it up.
Yep. Yeah, well, because we were looking at it at PAX when they had it up. They only had it up in, like, one corner of the Sega booth or whatever, and it was on a couple of TVs, but watching it was cool. It's nothing like, you know, Mass Effect or Fallout or anything.
Yeah, no, it's got some interesting systems that I didn't fully understand in Japanese.
Yeah, it seems like it's this weird, you know, kind of complex, turn-based kind of thing.
It's a lot like Ark the Lad with guns, if you ever played those games.
Huh.
Because you have your turn base where you can move within a certain range, and then you can you're real time, but everyone else is kind of standing still.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then they got fashion.
So I should be getting that like today or next week. I'll be able to talk about it then. Let's see. I believe this is a European one. I think.
Yep. Something that came out over the last couple of days, and let me just figure out who the creator of it was, but there's a free indie PC game, I guess you could say. I guess you could call it indie. Here it is. Games Journo Story.
Oh, it's the RPG Maker game?
Yeah, it's an RPG Maker game. It's by one of the guys from Rock, Paper, Shotgun. And it's basically, like, you go through a weekend of, like, basically the E3 of this fictional universe, and there's no real way you win, I don't think. It's got some humor to it. There are some jokes that might go over your head because there are a lot of inside jokes, but there are also a lot of like, oh, yeah, I guess game journalists do that a lot too. It's fun. It's like 15 to 20 minutes long. So,
speaking of short games, who else played the Duty Calls?
No, I didn't.
I didn't watch the video either.
I just saw the pictures.
It took me like an hour and a half to download the thing, and about
that's
5 minutes to play.
Download it.
Well, not to download, but to install it. It took forever because like my system was
shit,
you know, whatever something. But yeah, that was a really fun thing. I guess we'll chat about it after the break.
What?
Oh, wait, Caleb's got to go.
He's been playing.
I haven't been playing much. I played the Catherine demo, though, and I didn't talk about that last week. And I guess no one really knows how Catherine plays, do they? I mean, from the videos.
No. Yeah, it's...
It's...
BBC iPlayer.
He's not even paying attention.
I'm kind of paying attention. I'm trying to make my Japanese account here.
Oh, yeah, do that later.
You know he won't.
Really?
No, it's interesting. I mean, Catherine, the demo had a lot of talking in it, so of course I didn't know what was going on. But the actual gameplay is a puzzle platformer. Like, you're pulling blocks and pushing blocks to move up to escape something chasing you from the bottom, and that's all it is. I mean, there's a lot of little random things that are going on, but I think the story is going to have to carry that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I
wonder if that is the, if that's the only style of game.
Well, no, like, in the thing they show when you beat it, they show a lot of other things, like you're just walking around the little bars and stuff you're in, and there's some system where you're sending text messages and calling people, and I'm sure there's some kind of AI that's dealing with, or some event system that's dealing with, you know, sending certain messages back and forth. So it's like a visual novel, probably. It's a lot like merging a Japanese, you know, dating sim or something like that with a PS3 game. It's kind of what I'm gathering from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, the base gameplay of crawling up the tower is okay, and since it's Shin Megami Tensei, it's got that kind of, you know, look about it. It's I like that, but...
Okay, how did you make this? Because these are all Japanese.
There's a guide I found somewhere. I made it, like, when the Residence of Fate demo came out, which was before the game came out, which was a year and a half ago, so...
Okay. But that... I mean, it still sounds cool. Like, the story and stuff of Catherine still seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking for... I wish they'd say if it was releasing in the West, but, I mean, it's coming out in Japan next month, so... Maybe, someday.
Yeah.
But, no, I haven't been playing much else. I'm playing the Rift beta. It's fun.
You know, I have that. I haven't downloaded it.
Should try it out. It's fun. No. I don't know how much I'm restricted on the NDA, though. I don't know if that was lifted or not. So I probably am in trouble for even saying I'm playing it. No.
Oh, that's great.
Leave that in.
No, leave it in. Okay, let's see. What is this now? Oh, these are the terms and conditions. So, yeah.
Yeah, walk us through this.
All right.
No, don't. That is so boring. Move on.
Well, it's going to take a while to scroll through all this crap. Because you have to scroll through it all. Which is one thing. Do you get that? Like, does your terms and conditions come up for DC every time you launch it?
No, I haven't launched it for about 3 days.
I wonder if it's something that I'm doing, because every time I turn it on, it'll check for the update, and then the terms and conditions will come up, and I have to accept it.
Oh.
I don't know.
I need to actually find out how to cancel DC.
I think this is...
Whoa, you're canceling DC?
Well, no, my plan for DC is to let content stack up and renew it like every couple months for a month at a time. Just to save. That's what I'm gonna let it go through February, but after the end of February, I'm gonna.
You just have to.
Because on the PS3, it automatically links it to your wallet. I didn't see any option anywhere.
It's because what it does is it'll turn on the automatic funding.
Uh huh.
So you have to go into your account management and turn off automatic funding.
And that will be automatic. That'll take care of it.
I think so.
Because I see in the store you can buy the 1 month, 3 month, you know, 6 month subscriptions. So that's just what I'm going to do, is just buy one of those every couple months to play through the content. Because they are adding a lot of content in the monthly patches. That February patch has quite a bit. But I'm not much for the in-game grind in those games. So
yeah.
It's like, I'll play through the content because it's a fun game. It's still awesome, but I don't want to pay for it every month.
Man, this is...
Japanese.
It is Japanese. I don't know Japanese.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
I did. I figured out the account. Okay. I'm downloading this.
There you go.
I thought you were just being an asshole.
Well, yeah, that too, but we already know that.
That was a great break.
That was a fantastic break.
Was it?
So
I may argue it that it was the worst break.
Well, Eric moved all the way to Japan. Actually,
I did, and just so I could download this.
What? Damn it.
Okay.
Also, can we make a resolution to never mention Call Burner on Twitter again?
I was going to say something back to you when you did that about not mentioning Call Burner, but I didn't want to say don't mention Call Burner because I would have been implicated even more. Yes, we can make this happen. Never again say Call Burner on Twitter.
Why? Did they automatically?
Yeah, they just always respond to you, and I don't like random people responding to me, especially marketing people.
Well, hey guys, saw your tweet. Here's a link that's not helpful.
Is that really what they said?
Pretty much.
Well, they didn't say it wasn't helpful.
That's funny.
It wasn't helpful.
No. Oh wow, now he's humming Katy Perry.
Come on, show him why! Yeah, but humming isn't as annoying as that. How many of them little drop call noises are we up to now?
At least five.
Well, I suppose
six.
A lot of them was during the break, so
yeah.
You won't have to add those in.
Exactly.
Right. So let's talk about some news, fellas.
News.
Let's hope that Kotaku isn't down again.
Come on. Like, Kotaku's not the only source. Also, something that you did not link in the wave that I think we should talk about. Nice way to start off. You want me to read it? You want me to read it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Twisted Pixel announced their new game, Gunstringer.
Yeah.
It's for Kinect.
Yeah, but we don't have a Kinect.
I have a Kinect.
Except for you.
I'm not paying $150 for
it. We can still talk about the damn game, Eric.
Well, that's my thought on it. I'm not paying $150 for a Twisted Pixel game.
Well, no, hold on a goddamn second. Like, nobody's saying it's going to cost $150. God damn it. It's just a cool game that they're making
for Kinect. Costs $100.
Yeah, it does. Yes, okay. But what I'm saying is they're making a new game. It's for Kinect. It looks pretty cool. It's very original, like all their other stuff. You can play it sitting down, too. So, I mean...
Oh.
Big feature. but it looks really, really awesome. And I'm excited
I'll just wait till somebody pirates it to the iPhone.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get it.
Oh!
Everyone else forgot about that.
it looks cool. It's like some gunslinger marionette type thing. Looks like it'll control really weird, though.
Yeah, because you're like, your left hand is for the marionette, and then your right hand's your pistol.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the assumption.
So, we'll see how that works out. I wonder how... I guess, because I never tried out Kinect, but I wonder if there's, like, left-handed mode for everything. Dan, check that out.
Well, what do you mean left-handed mode?
I think it would it just worked that way.
Well, I mean, I
Dan
suppose
Central,
because...
The way Dan Central works is, you know, you use your right hand for, like, selections, and then to go back, you swipe your left hand. But so it really just depends on how the developers make it.
Yeah. Which is why I didn't like a lot of Wii games. Because Wii games are all right-handed. Bastards.
Well, in that case, though, you know, it's like an entire, like, controller and...
Well, no. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Like, I just put the remote in my other hand.
Wait, so why can't you play
Wii
games?
Fine. Well, I can, but you have to, like, adjust, because a lot of times it's, like, the controls are for the right hand. You know?
Oh, okay.
So the swipes go a certain way and this and that. And you have to hold controllers a certain way. And I hold it in my right hand, or my left hand, you know. But, whatever. I don't play my Wii anymore anyway, so.
Yeah.
That was great, Eric. That was moving on. Fantastic story. And then you found $5.
And then I found $5.
It was a good day for everybody.
So there was a thinger dinger about there's some more info about the NGP and what it does and some of the games that are coming out for it.
Inns World Hunger.
The game.
Okay. Yes.
Jane McGonigal was on the Colbert Report last night. The other
wow.
Night.
Total derail. Go ahead.
Well, because we said, you know, Cures World Hunger, and they're like making games that, you know, based around curing world hunger. She was on.
That would have been a good segue, not at the beginning of another story. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? I just threw it out there, so.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Don't.
So Uncharted is one of the games that's coming out for the NGP, but apparently it is now being told that it's not developed by Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Which worries me almost. Kinda. I mean, it's already there. Like, it's already an established brand. I mean, unless they do, like, you know, some crazy game-changing mechanics, I think it should turn out well. But the fact that it's not also brings up that worry that, you know, what could they change about this game? I don't know who's developing it now. It doesn't say.
I mean, it could be like a Bioshock 2 sort of situation where, you know, 2K Marin takes over. And, yeah, they do a pretty good job of it, but it doesn't quite match the original.
Yeah, I think that might be what happens. Sony Bend, the creators of Siphon Filter.
Interesting.
Okay.
Siphon Filter on the PSP was a good game, though.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It was fun.
Did we talk about this last week with Demon's Souls getting a new sequel?
Yeah, well, we mentioned it a while back when it was first teased.
Yeah, when it was first teased as Project Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is finally being called Dark Souls rather than Demon's Souls 2 or something. But it is the spiritual successor to Demon's Souls. Pretty much looks like it plays exactly the same. But they've been saying that they want to make it harder than the last one. Like they're like, oh yeah, we're totally glad that you died in Demon's Souls. We want that to happen more in Dark Souls.
Yeah, I think the one thing I really want from it is a multiplayer that doesn't kind of depend on randomness as much.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to join up with your friends.
Yeah, like some type of party system would be the biggest improvement.
Yeah.
I think the only improvement that it needs.
I know. That would fix Demon's Souls a lot for me, as much as it's broken. I mean, it's not broken, but my friend's been picking up Demon's Souls lately. Again, and he's like, dude, come on, you need to play this with me. I'm like, do you remember it took us like 3 hours to just get in the same world together? We can't play that game together. It's just, you know, that's the one thing that
appears to deliver more tense dungeon crawling, strategic combat, and innovative online multiplayer features. So maybe that will be one of the things.
Yeah, I hope. So. It's open world too, so that's pretty cool.
That will be cool.
Yeah.
The level thinger in Demon's Souls wasn't horrible.
Yeah, no.
You know, it always seemed like, you know, it actually seemed like really nice to be able to come back to that neutral area and not worry about something coming up from behind you.
Yeah.
Which is also another thing that they changed in Dark Souls. In Demon's Souls, you could eventually run away from something and it would stop chasing you. That's not going to happen. Like, if something sees you and it starts hunting you down, you will have to kill it or die.
Can you imagine those skeletons that roll around?
Oh, they suck.
In a persistent world MMO, you see this guy running.
Yeah.
With the skeleton tumbling behind him.
Yeah, and that means that nobody's going to be beating Demon Souls or Dark Souls in 3 hours.
I don't know.
Or whatever it was. Well, no. I mean, a lot of the thing was that the guy skipped a lot of the monsters.
Oh.
And if you can't do that, then,
yeah,
you know. I wonder how that's going to work, though, if it's an open world.
I don't know. Like, I think it's...
I wonder how open the world is, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm imagining a world like Shadow of the Colossus just because of, you know...
That would be cool.
The way it looks.
Yeah.
But
still, really cool. I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
Demon's Souls is easily one of my favorite games and one of my most hated games at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Ghosts and Goblins of our age.
Yeah. I wish Dan would get a PS3 just so he could try Demon's Souls.
I'm getting a PS3 just for Spyro, too.
Well, good. If you get a PS3, you should get Demon's Souls. And I wish we could... We're going to live stream it so that we can hear your rage at how insanely tough this game is.
Apparently, it's pretty easy to beat that first boss if you know how to do it.
Yeah, but it involves, like, taking all your armor off and, like, dodging correctly. And,
yeah.
And it's... too much to learn rather than just take 2 seconds and die and oh look,
the game starts
because you die anyway.
Yeah,
like either way you start the game as a soul.
Yeah, you don't get anything for beating them, do you?
I think you might. I don't know.
That would be the incentive for me.
Yeah. So
you know what was great about Spyro 2? The fact
what?
That no. With Spyro 1, like, you didn't really have too much direction going into it. And that was one of the main problems that I felt with Spyro 1, is that, like, you know, it just sort of let you off and, like, didn't really give you a sense of where you were going. Whereas with Spyro 2, it was very, like, it was very specific in how, you know, what you were supposed to do in terms of, like, being successful. But the way you did it, you know, varied from each world, and each world was so great and so creative and just so, it was, I love Spyro 2.
This random outburst of joy.
Anyway,
brought to you by Dan.
Dan's tired of us talking about Dark Souls and Demon Souls because he hasn't played it. But I think it would be one of those things because, like, we played Mega Man 9, me and Caleb, and we're like, oh, it's really friggin' hard. And then Dan's like, oh, I played it and it was great. I loved it. I beat it.
What, Super Meat Boy?
No, Mega Man.
Oh, Mega Man, yeah. Fuck yeah. Mega Man's awesome.
Well, Demon's Souls is that kind of game. Like, it's one of those games where you have to...
Well, you know, hold on
master,
a second, though.
Master timing and...
Is it and, mastering timing? Or because, like, with Mega Man, the reason I love Mega Man Super Meat Boy so much is that, like, it's hard, but it has a defined set of rules. It's you can jump, and you can shoot, in the case of Mega Man. And, like, yeah. It's going to be the exact same every time. Like, there's no armor, there's no weapon, there's... You know, just how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that in Demon's Souls. I mean, there's leveling up and stuff, but, you know, for the most part, it's very strategic in how you handle everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of remembering where monsters are.
Yeah, it's all muscle memory.
remembering how to handle them, and then it just... I guess it just kind of gets easier as you go on is the only thing. But I've never gotten to that part.
Yeah. I'd one of these days need to sit down and actually play it.
Let's see. Sony talked about how there's lots of legal issues with licenses in re-releasing old PS1 games. Which we already kind of knew. And Duty Calls. Let's talk about Duty Calls.
And what was Duty Calls?
It was a Bulletstorm marketing ploy basically aimed to take gigantic shots at Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's pretty... Even from the screenshots, I can...
It's... You literally... You start in the game, and it's it gives you a gun, and then you're going down a corridor, and someone jumps out, and he says, I am the enemy. And then you have to shoot him. And then it, like, ranks you up to, like, oh, Master Sergeant. And then you kill somebody else, and it's like, oh, Sergeant of Master Sergeants. And it's like, Sergeant of Master Sergeants to the Sergeant of the Awesome Sergeant Sauce.
You need to download this.
It's just ridiculous. And, and then it just, it goes into how, like, it's just extremely linear and things are really easy and just some achievements are stupid, like picking up a stick. Like, it's like, oh, you got this achievement for picking up a completely useless item. And it's just, it's hilarious. But I would imagine that Activision has to be just, well, I don't know. Like, I guess I wouldn't be mad if they did it, but at the same time...
You're just one person, not a corporation.
Well, yeah. Something I was thinking about, too, is, like, Bulletstorm is being published by EA.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting time for them to be releasing a parody of Call of Duty. You know, true. Considering a current lawsuit that's happening. So, I'm just... that was a little weird.
Well, it's not EA releasing it. It's Epic.
Well, yeah, but published, but... I don't know.
But yeah, it's, yeah, it's funny, but, you know, I mean, I imagine that, like, the developers and the team are probably able to take these shots, you know, and be able to joke about it, like, oh, yeah, you know, that's kind of, because really this takes it to, like, the nth degree, you know.
I should ask my friend who works at Treyarch what the talk is around the studio about it.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Because it really is, like, it takes it to the extreme level of, like, of how bad these are. Like, everybody's like, oh, Call of Duty's good, but it's got these kind of issues. Well, that takes it and, like, multiplies it and so that you actually see how bad it is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I imagine, like, marketing departments and all this are probably not taking it too well. Nobody's really said anything, though.
Mm.
Like, there hasn't been a response or anything.
Well, what can you say that doesn't make you look like, you know, a dumbass?
Yeah, true.
Have you guys played the Bulletstorm demo yet?
I have not.
The Bulletstorm
I need
demo,
to.
I did. I talked about it.
Oh, yeah? Today?
Didn't I?
No.
Didn't I talk about it last week?
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
Did you?
Pretty sure you did.
Thought I did.
Yeah, no,
I
sure both of us did. Yeah, both of us did. Never mind.
Yeah, no, wow. It's really good.
I need to get on PC. I that's the system I'm going to get it on.
Like, it unleashes my inner bro. Which is funny, because, like, Caleb's probably seen the Jim Sterling video where he talks about, where he talks about Bulletstorm. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's, because people are like, oh, Bulletstorm's crap because it's, you know...
Fun?
It's this stupid game about shooting. And he's like, you know what? No, sometimes I want games where I get to sit at my computer and be a stupid art bastard. And then sometimes I want games where I'm a bro. And it's like, it's just him sitting there like, oh, this game is great. And it's got, oh, such great art. And then it's like, cuts to him talking about Bulletstorm. He's like, yeah! It's awesome!
So what do you feel like when you're playing it?
That's pretty much it. So, but yeah, we're not talking about Bulletstorm.
That's coming out soon, too. Jeez.
On the same day as Killzone 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Thus lies my dilemma.
Yeah. So, and then there's been a lot of, like, I don't know, app copying... ish type deals.
Gameloft?
Yeah. Well, this next story isn't really copying. There is a app by developer Robots and Pencils. They've made a Minecraft World Explorer, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do anything in it other than, like, walk around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I guess it's a cool concept, you know? And plus, you can go in and explore other people's worlds and see what they've built in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, like, it's also a cool concept in that, you know, oh, hey, Minecraft can run on the iPhone. Obviously, they're not affiliated with Mojang or
right.
Notch, but they have been in talks with him about this program, and they've gotten permission to make it, and you know, so it's not like there isn't any legal issues in it,
mm-hmm.
but definitely like it'd be cool to see Minecraft on iPhone eventually.
If anything, this was like the perfect pitch for those developers to be like, hey Notch, I know you're kind of busy, but
yeah.
we could do this, you know.
Well, with a lot of the stuff they're doing, like the different developers will tweet, they're working with mod developers to do mm-hmm. like the server wrapper they're doing, the one up of that. So I mean, they're really into the community with figuring that stuff out, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I wanted to download that app. I just don't know if it's worth the $3 right now.
Yeah, I mean it's $3, and like I could see using it to like explore, like to go out and like. Find cool caves, and then like keep it in mind the next time I'm playing.
Well, I don't know if it probably doesn't generate either. It probably just explores what has already been generated, I would assume.
That's actually a very good point.
Yeah, so it wouldn't generate anything new, but, you know, there's stuff that generates that you can't see anyways, so.
Yeah. But, and like there's other games, aside from this Minecraft one, that are, like, clones, and I mean... Aside from, like, Game Loft, I guess, who obviously blatantly copies a lot of things and gets away with it, but for, like, you know, fledgling app developers and whatnot, I guess it's kind of cool to go with what you know. But, like, there's
or if you
kept Legendary... right, too. go with what you can steal. But, like, Legendary Wars was talked on a few websites about being the next Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's this, what is it? Oh, Ballistic, the Angry Birds clone with balls.
Yeah.
I
think there's a statute of limitations on that whole stealing thing.
Yeah.
Like you're a little too close in the mm-hmm. release window of the other games to be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time as, I mean, the Ballistic one, at least I'm reading, says that it's free.
Right.
So, okay. You know, they're not making any money off the idea.
Well, off the idea, off in-game
off
ads?
Off the app, yeah.
I mean, in-game ads, well, like even DLC, because Dead Space, that was also something I found out. Dead Space has, like, paid DLC on the iPhone, where it's, like, pay $2 and you'll get another power node.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So, you know, I mean, there are many more ways they could make money just than making their game free.
Yeah.
Farmville says hi.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, something. It's a weird, like, it's a weird thing to talk about, really, I guess.
It's a saturated market. I mean, it's bound to happen. It's just weird how often it's happening and how profiled
yeah.
games are, you know? It's like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, Legendary Wars, I'd only heard about. I haven't tried it yet. There's not a light version. Usually, I'll try the free versions of games on the iPhone before I buy them.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I'm waiting for that to see what that's all about, but...
Yeah. But, like, you know, because, I mean, You know, a lot of us have thought about developing titles, I'm sure, and when you sit down and you think about it, you know, a lot of the times you end up going back to things that are already created for, like, inspiration or ways you think you could make it better.
Right? Yeah, I mean, the mantra I live by right now is nothing is original, steal with confidence, and just make sure... that whatever you do adds to the experience and is true to the original experience. You know, don't blatantly steal something if you're not going to do anything to further it. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And that I mean, that's all you can really do. Like, yeah, every once in a while there's going to be the genius that's going to come up with a breakthrough, and then everyone's going to steal off him. And maybe you're lucky someday to do that, but a lot of these little game studios are popping up because it's so much easier to get into game development now that there's a lot more of those games that are coming out that are just straight-up copies of other games.
Right, so. Yeah. I mean, and yeah, a lot of these, you know, small game development studios are literally like one, two people. Yeah.
How much does it cost to develop for iPhone?
For an iPhone, $100 to get the kit, and then you put it up, and there's the whole licensing cost and how much Apple takes out of price of the app and stuff.
So does the licensing cost come out of your profits, or
no? Yeah. The licensing cost is upfront. You can download the SDK for free, but when you're ready to release, you have to pay the $100 licensing fee,
and then
they take profits.
Could download the SDK right now and see if I could take a crack at developing for iPhone.
Yeah, you can make a full game on iPhone on the Mac if you have a Mac. And then once you're ready to release it.
Yeah, you have to pay that $100.
What if I don't have a Mac?
You have to have a Mac to develop for iPhone. Windows phones.
Well, you can develop for it, it's just...
You have to go through some workarounds to get...
That is incredibly retarded.
Yeah. No, I mean, Mac development is actually pretty fun. Like, Unity on the Mac was one of my favorite times game development. But
I don't like Objective-C is all I'm going to say.
Well, no, not Objective-C.
No, I know, but I'm talking about, like, iPhone development. I did not like Objective-C as a language.
No. I didn't do anything more than just setting up a simple, really simple app when I was learning. So I didn't get too much into the Objective-C. But see, with what I'm doing, and XNA has kind of the same system, where if you release a game that's going to make money, you have to pay a $100 licensing fee. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's $100 just to get into the thing.
No.
Isn't it?
No. I don't think I paid $100 yet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I need to look into it again, because that might just be to release on an Xbox Live, and what I'm making is never going to go on Xbox Live. I'm just using XNA on PC. So I need to look at the licensing stuff for that.
Alrighty. Yeah. But, yeah. So,
I'm going to make a game for Windows Phone 7. It's going to be great.
Do it.
Programming is hard, though.
Programming is fun.
I hate it, programming. But then again, I am a programming dropout.
Beauty school dropout.
Let's see, pretty much.
I'm sorry. I mean, well, sorry about your hopes and dreams there. Let's see. Windows...
Well, no, it wasn't. Whatever.
Windows SDK for Windows 7 and NetFrame. Well, I want the Windows Phone. Like, how do I develop for Windows Phone?
XNA 4.0.
Is it?
You can use XNA 4.0 if you get the Visual Studio 2010 Express Edition. It installs everything you need.
Yeah.
But good luck if you've had no experience in coding at all. Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Do you not think I could do it?
No, I'm just saying. If you want to do it, do it.
Let's make a broken embargo bet. Let's do this.
What?
Let's do this, okay? Yeah. I bet that I can make a game in XNA that is better than Caveman by the end of the month.
Yeah?
Yes.
What are you putting on the line there?
What would you like?
By the end of this month? Editing duties for the rest of your life.
That's a big... You're going to develop it by yourself.
I'm going to make it by myself.
Better than Caveman. That's subjective, though.
Yeah.
Which our panel of judges are going to be Mikey, Benway, and Alex Jones.
From a technological standpoint, Caveman is something far and beyond anything you can do in a month. Trust me.
By better, I'm saying more fun.
Okay, Caveman was a technological project because it was a technological school, and it's impressive to the people who hired us and got us jobs, which was the important part. Right now I'm making the fun game, So if you're going to put it up against a game that's supposed to be fun, I wouldn't put it up against Caveman.
Okay, so then what's a fair judging point? What's a reference point? What is the bar?
If you can make a game by the end of the month by yourself, you win. Have you had no programming experience ever?
No. Do I have to use XNA?
You can use whatever you want. Yeah.
You can't use like RPG Maker Game Maker or something like that.
No Game Maker, no RPG Maker. You have to code a game by yourself.
Code a game, do the art, all by yourself.
By March 5th.
March 5th?
There you go.
March 5th.
This is going to be hilarious.
This is going to be interesting.
All right, what do I win then if I do it?
I get to edit the podcast.
I don't consider that a victory.
No, what do you want if you win? I'll tell you if it's reasonable.
Does your sister bake?
No, you cannot marry my sister.
No! I'm asking if she makes cookies or something. Jeez,
yes, she makes cookies.
How good are they?
She makes amazing cupcakes.
Okay, I want 12 cupcakes then.
12 cupcakes? Alright, we can do that.
And if you lose... Well, there has to be something if you lose.
Oh, if I lose, I edit the show now. I have editing duties for life.
I don't know if that's what I want, though. What were those no-bake you cook stuff? Let's make this
you cook stuff.
Let's make this a cook. Let's make this a cook bet.
Cooking stuff.
Wait, so what do you want?
What are those things you made last you were tweeting about? Oh, what were those?
What was I talking
about? The pomegranate something or another?
No.
That was
Murgatroyd.
Spiced cookies or... I don't know. Make some freaking cookies
wasn't cookies. I haven't made cookies.
I'll have to look at your Twitter feed. But you're gonna bake me a dozen cookies or something.
Oh, are you talking about the cracker candy?
Cracker candy.
Are you talking about cracker candy, the chocolate crunch cake, or the color burst cupcakes?
You can make us some cupcakes. Let's do a cupcake bet.
Okay, cupcake bet. I'm okay with that.
All right.
What? I'm just sitting at the side. I hope everybody realizes this. I have neither the time nor energy to code anything in a month.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, this is...
I'm going to make something that's fun.
Okay, we have to... I'll lay down some rules of what the game's got to be, what the game has to have.
Whoa!
No, because it has to have the basic functionality of, you know, a game. It has to have a start screen, it has to have a splash screen, it has to have a win condition, a fail condition, all this stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So it has to be justifiably recognizable as a game.
Okay.
I think it has to be a game. Yeah, there has to be a goal.
And you have to do it.
Okay.
Like, you can't outsource this.
Who the hell am I going to outsource this to? I go to a community college.
You can't go on a forum to be like, oh, I'm making this game, and then someone like, here's a chunk of code.
Well, you can go on forums to get help if you're, you know, learning coding and stuff.
You can go on forums to get help, but like, you can't be like, oh, I'm making this game, and then someone's like, oh, I'll code that for you.
So I have to do it from scratch, is what you're saying.
Yes.
XNA is my suggestion on what to use. It's
XNA. Otherwise, you could use UDK.
UDK is kind of already pre-made. You can kind of put something together really easy with that.
Yeah.
That's almost like a RPG Maker kind of thing.
Really?
UDK? Yeah, from my standpoint.
But there's some really cool stuff on UDK.
Yeah, there is. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff in RPG Maker.
Like, Game Maker stuff and RPG Maker stuff all play exactly the same. Okay? They all do. Let's face it. Yeah. UDK, a lot of original stuff coming out of that.
Yeah, if you do something in UDK, you can't use any existing UDK assets. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, I'll decide. I'll
except maybe shaders or something.
And I'll decide. Okay. So what does this thing got to have? Let me write this down.
It's got to be functionally recognizable as a game. You need a splash screen that has, like, the name of your company or whatever.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? Are you going to do... So you're going to do, like, a PC game, or are you going to do an iPhone game?
Well, I can't develop for iPhone because I don't have a Mac.
Okay. Yeah, no. So yeah, then it's got to have, yeah, like, opening credits, like, splashes of, like, your company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to have a start screen to load into the game.
Like a menu screen, pretty much.
Yeah, menu screen with the how to play if it needs it, if it's, you know... Yeah, have a menu screen, because you need to do a state machine for that.
A what?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, that is the basic fundamental of a...
What machine?
This is
You
great.
Are about to find out why I stopped.
I wonder what Dan's cupcakes taste like.
State machine.
That's the name of the episode now. We are still recording, by the way.
I know we are. This is going down in Broken Embargo
history.
This
is official Broken Embargo-ness, okay? So it's got to have a state machine in it, okay?
Well, yeah, a state machine that cycles through a menu and a game.
You'll find that out as you make the
game.
Like, this is just, like, we're talking about, like, concept stuff.
Okay.
And you'll have to figure out how to
do it. Do you know what a singleton is?
A what?
Nothing. Never mind. Moving on.
Okay, splash screen and start menu with a how to play is necessary.
It has to have, and then the game itself has to have a win condition and a fail condition, and a win event and a fail event. And it has to come back to the main menu, and it has to get out. I'm not going to say you have to do any save system or any crap like that, because I'm not doing save for Crystal Hunters. It's just going to be a code system.
And then... He's going to have to come back to us with his idea of what he wants to make.
Oh, we're going to just every week we're going to check in? That sounds...
Well, no, because I think that depending on the game you make...
We can add other requirements.
Yeah.
Like, if you make a top-down shooter, you have to have X number of power-ups or something like that.
Yeah, like, you can't just make, like, some broken pile of junk and be like, no, it's really fun when you
play
it. So
I can't make Breakout, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah.
If you can make it, like, a good version of it.
Yeah, you can make Breakout.
And we're going to have people judge.
I just want updates on what you're doing every week.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to totally give up on this. You are.
You know how much physical willpower it takes for me to get to where I've gotten with this game I'm making now?
I'm not busy. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be like, no. There's going to be like a blog post, like, no, just no.
And I know how to make games.
I'm done.
I know what a state machine is. Pointers. Ooh. You don't have to deal with pointers in C#, though. So,
like, from scratch, all this stuff, like, it's taken Caleb 2 months. 3 months.
Now, in my defense, I'm doing a lot of complicated stuff with AI and stuff.
True. Of, like, well, he's going to have to do something.
If he does Breakout, he doesn't need AI, really.
Yeah, unless it's, like, some puzzle thing, but yeah. Who knows?
I mean, simple AI is just move from this position, you know, do something like that.
But
build a node mesh with A-Star Pathfinding and then come talk to me.
Yeah, but...
That moves half step on a 32x32 grid. Huh?
Oh, this is going to be late. So, yeah, okay, I guess we'll finish here.
Yeah.
That's good, a good spot. Mm. Oh, wait, no, the Wii console. I do want to talk
about
that.
Oh, yeah, that was an interesting story.
Where is it? Okay, Sega is going to be releasing Puyo Puyo on the virtual console, and it is looks like it's some kind of two-player Tetris style.
You never played Puyo Puyo?
Not. I might have.
It is the best Tetris clone ever. It's so much fun.
But it's a two-player thing, and they're going to release it on Virtual Console with Nintendo Wi-Fi capabilities.
That's really cool.
So you won't have to, like, you know, find somebody else who wants to play Puyo Puyo in your house. You know, you can play with somebody online, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention that was really cool. The bigger story now is Dan's going to be making cupcakes for Caleb.
It's going to turn out fantastic.
I'm excited for next week just to hear Dan be like, wow.
You're not getting cupcakes.
I put my foot in my mouth in that one. This isn't going to be...
You're not going to get cupcakes?
The first thing we're going to hear is, no, this can't be done in a month. I need 2 months.
The first thing you're going to try to do is extend the timeline you have.
No, I want him to do it in a month. Because he's cocky little Dan, and he wants to do it in a month. Right.
I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic game. You're going to play it 50 times over. 10 out of 10. All the game dev story reviewers are going to love it.
Oh. I hope you realize that you're just being sarcastic and this is going to fail epically.
Oh, I don't think so. It's going to be great.
This is fun.
Anyways, somebody do plugs so we can get out of here.
Thank you for listening to Broken Embargo this week. To find more episodes, go to unnamedgaming.podomatic.com. You can visit Caleb's Dev Diary at togibagushki.tumblr.com. You can follow me at danplaysgames.wordpress.com. Eric doesn't have a website because, you know, he's sad and lonely. You can follow all of us on Twitter, twitter.com/brokenembargo. Should have linked to all of those there. You can also check out Alex Jones's podcast, the Start Select Talk podcast. You can find it at iTunes on your own. Other than that, that should be about it for this week.
You can find it on iTunes.
You can.
That's great. Way to help out a friend. You could.
He's not Mikey and Benway.
We've been linking the controller, bro, but somebody else starts something, and it's...
I need to get used to it, damn it.
You find it if you feel like
hey,
it.
Hey, I've been listening to Controller Throw since episode 1 when they were not in Exit, okay? I'm still trying to get over it.
Aren't they back?
Are they back? Why are they back?
To be a good fan.
They randomly had an episode back, and they've been tweeting.
Yeah, they've had an episode. Obviously, Dan doesn't go to
controlthrow.com or
follow Mikey and Benway on Twitter.
Hold on a fucking second, all right? Like, obviously, I haven't listened for a little while, but I thought they were just dead. I thought they were just gone.
No.
No, episode 54. Recorded on the 2nd.
January 25th. We are doing a fucking podcast tonight.
Boom shakalaka.
So, listen to Controller right. Throw.
What in the world?
And start Select Talk, yeah. But nobody cares about that.
Oh.
I don't... What the fuck?
According to Dan. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for next week. I don't know about you, but I am... Even the next few days, the next 10 minutes.
you gotta be tweeting this, though.
To where Dan, like, tweets, oh, damn. What have I gotten into?
Class goes where?
It's gonna be great. I think I'm gonna have a lot of fun with it. It's gonna be a fantastic game.
Alright.
Alright. We'll see everybody next time.
See ya.